What number is this, Chip?
Episode 11, Cersei Link and Christian Nesmith stop by the Zilch headquarters.
Okay, no, I mean, like, don't get excited, man. It's because I'm short, I know. Zilch.
You're listening to Zilch, a Monkeys podcast.
Welcome to this special episode of Zilch. Today we have two folks joining us, Cersei Link and Christian Nesmith. Anybody who knows their monkey history knows, of course, who Christian Nesmith is. And Cersei Link, well, she's a fresh new talent that we want you folks to check out. And maybe we'll turn you on to some new music. So check this out.
Sometimes I get up in the morning, and when the world is yawning, I make my escape. I shake the blues out of my bustle, tired of the hustle. Give me an escape. Yes, there's a smile in the sun. The day's just begun. I'm footloose, fancy free. If tomorrow we die, then today we can ride. So come along with me. I wanna go.
Cersei Link.
And Christian Nesmith.
And you're listening to
Zilch,
a Monkeys podcast.
One take wonders you.
That's how we do it.
And today, stopping by the Zilch headquarters, we are very blessed to have two really cool people here. And if you saw the Monkeys last time around, you saw them as well. Introducing the lovely Christian Nesmith. And the even lovelier Cersei Link.
Hello!
How are you doing today?
We're good, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Can't complain. Every day above ground is a good one. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
We are so thrilled to have you here. I'd like to kind of clear up a few things for people. And exactly what is Cersei Link?
Oh.
What is Cersei Link?
Mm-hmm.
Go for it, honey.
Okay. Forgive me for talking about you in third person, okay, as you sit right here next to me. Cersei Link.
Hold on. Let me get the popcorn.
Okay.
Cersei Link is Cersei Link is the most wonderful woman I've ever met. And she's lovely, beautiful, talented, and a hell of a singer, and a hell of a songwriter, and my partner in life and crime. Say hi, Cersei Link.
Hi, Cersei Link.
See? And well-trained, too. Uh-huh.
And Christian and I write a lot of music together, so we perform under my name, as the band name, but really all the music that Cersei Link, the entity, puts out is something that Christian and I have been doing together for about 12 or 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had fans ask me, people that maybe didn't catch the tour, or, you know, they're more geared towards the Monkeys instead of the side, you know, ancillary kind of stuff. Is Cersei Link a band or a person? And I say it's both.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's the person mostly. Mm-hmm. Because when she started, the reason why we got together was because she was looking for a player. A guitar player to play with her. So at the time, she was releasing music under her own name.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just stuck, and it looks good. I mean, her name just looks good in print. So
yeah, and it's my real name, which a lot of people want to know because it's so unique, but it is indeed my real name.
Wow, that is awesome. So how long have you been recording?
Gosh, about 12 years, 13 years, something like that. I just started recording when I reached out to find a guitar player leading me to Christian. So I hadn't done music before that 13, time.
13 or so,
about
yeah.
13 years, I guess, yeah. So I was a fine artist and painter before I started doing music.
And
so,
poet.
Yeah, and poet. So Christian really is the one that has the years of experience, although by now I think I kind of know what I'm doing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage folks to check out your YouTube page. The covers you guys do are just stunning.
Thank you.
And here's Cersei Link and Christian doing one of my personal favorites. I really like this one. I Want to Tell You, a cover of the Beatles song. Episode just on the love of your covers, but I won't, because we want to direct people towards your wonderful CDs. You've got quite a few of them out now.
Yeah, what is there, 6, 7, 8 CDs now? Including a live record and a pop EP, which is a little out of the genre that we usually do, but we have no real set genre. We just kind of follow the muse and do whatever is turning us on to. But I will say that the covers are a lot of fun, and we enjoy doing them. They're just as much of a way to relate to our audience as our originals. Of course, you know, our originals, if you buy them, they help us keep the lights on, and we're really appreciative of that. Mm-hmm. But any opportunity that we have
to do good music
and to relate to our audience and to make them happy. As a matter of fact, we did a Kickstarter campaign for our last record, and that was in the beginning of 2013. One of the tier rewards was that people could request a song. If they gave a certain amount of money, we would do a video of the song that they requested. So we enjoy doing them. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're music fans, so because of that, you'll hear that reflected in our music. I mean, I like to call it cowboy jazz for the initial listener who hasn't heard of us, because it kind of is my home base of what we generally write in, a little bit country, a little bit jazz, but old-timey. But then we stray out to all kinds of things with our covers and with the other styles that we dip into on different records. And, you know, that's the one thing I love about Monkees fans. When we did the Monkey Con the first time, people thought that maybe they would be really limited as far as their tastes. And I found that they're have quite discerning ears, and it's because the music that they love on a Monkees record, you would find a Voice and Heart, you would find a Neil Diamond song, you would find a Nez song, you would find a Goffin King song. Those are incredible writers. And
all of which are encompassing country and pop and show tunes.
Totally.
And and good hard rock and roll. I mean, it's all fair game. And the Monkees listener has a broader palette when it comes to their listening likes.
And that ended up working really well for us. I think that's why we crossed over with so many of the fans when we've done the conventions.
Not to mention that, but you're also ultra talented. So,
well, we're hoping that we're putting out the best music we can. You know, I mean, doesn't necessarily work out that way, but it does in this camp. So that's a nice thing.
Thank you for saying so.
Well, I love your new album, Dumb Luck, and the single Broken is just fantastic.
Thanks.
Lyrically, it's
didn't even think of it as a single.
Yeah, we don't really.
It's really the first song we released from that released. It is. There's just no. I mean, we. I have to predicate all of this by saying that we're not on a label.
Yeah.
Right.
This is completely mom and pop stuff. We do it out of our apartment here in the San Fernando Valley. We've got no publicity. We've got no promotion. It's everything that we do is directly relating to the fans, and their direct support back to us is really amazing. So when I say release, that's sort of an old nomenclature that that doesn't really officially apply in the circumstance. But the first one we put out was actually Hair of the Dog, which was a video that we put a lot of time in and was also a result of that Kickstarter.
Yes.
So Broken is actually the second song that we did a video for this record for. And now let's talk about that.
Yes. I love the lyrics of this particular song. They're just mind-blowing, and I look at the wrinkles in my hands. I'm a 51 years young, okay?
Right.
And I look at the little bit of cracks, you know, where my knuckles are, and you kind of refer to that.
Yeah.
How the world is unkind, and that all of the little lines that you've earned along the way say so much about you.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that's what I took from it. And I know that all art is subjective and it all means something individually to each person. Where did the inspiration for the song come from?
Wow, where did the inspiration come from? I think that's just one of the daily approaches I take to life, like anybody else. You know, Christian and I have hardships, up and downs every day, and some days it's really, you know, you just go, what? Why? How come? And then you got to suck it up and get back up and place one foot in front of the other. So I think that message is so important to me to remember that you're going to get bumps and bruises along the way and you're going to get scars, and those things are going to remind you of where you've been and who you are, and hopefully learning lessons that help you to be stronger in the future. The whole record, I really wanted to try and have a tone that if an individual put it on from the beginning to the end, that they would feel better. If they were grumpy in the beginning, by the end they'd feel a little bit better. Because it's easy for, I think, musicians to get caught in their own reflective pool of narcissism, and myself included. But I really wanted something that everybody could relate to, and that would make the world a little brighter, even if it's in that one little spot. So I think Broken really epitomizes that, the whole record for me.
And you know, what's the best line, or the most important line, at least to me, in that song is every crack is where the light gets in.
Yeah, I think that's a Leonard Cohen inspired lyric, because when I wrote it, I had heard it in some different versions, paraphrased in some lectures and some books, and then after the record was out, somebody said, "Oh, that sounds like a Leonard Cohen lyric." So sorry, Lenny.
Yeah, but the upshot of that is that you know, in all of our scars are not just lessons about what not to do or what to avoid or bad lessons. They're actually places where we gain wisdom and joy and optimism.
They are doors,
I, as Cersei said, I think that is a recurring theme on the record. If you listen to the last song, Getting Old, it talks about you know, all the things that, you know, your body's heading towards the ground, and the hair's turning gray.
Yeah.
But in the midst of it all, there's a you know, age's best gift is wisdom.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can step back from that and come away with a real positive conclusion.
Absolutely. Which one of you want to play FM DJ? Speaking of things that don't really apply to the new world, which one of you wants to play FM DJ and announce the song Broken?
Do it, honey.
Okay. Oh, well, now...
You gotta put on your radio.
Hold on. I'm gonna... Oh, no. It's gotta be FM DJ from the 70s.
All right, yeah. Tone it down. Oh, yeah.
Hey, this is Christian Nesmith, and you're listening to Zilch, and this is the new one from Cersei Link. It's a great song off the record, Dumb Luck, and it's called Broken.
Excellent. I love it.
The world is unkind to barefoot fools, and although I know, I keep breaking my toes anyway. The world is too hard on the kids in the yard, and although I see, I keep scraping my knees in the dirt, getting broken, and aren't we all? Every step can't be the best, sometimes you're gonna fall. Start again when I get broken. If I get broken, every time I see the map of bumps and tiny scars, I know where to go and where I've been. If you see the cracks, you might well notice in the dark that every break is where the light comes in. The world is unkind to tender souls, but I did not know that I would go join the club.
Excellent song, and I encourage folks to pick up any Cersei Link. You won't regret it. I can't say enough about it. As a matter of fact, is your first album called More Songs from Cersei Link? Isn't that your first one?
You know, I don't know why I named it that. It's been...
Well, yeah, you do.
What? Why, honey?
Because the first thing you actually put out was that three-song EP.
Oh, that's right. I had a three-song EP first, but I
which was all handmade. It was, it was like, you know, from your own printer copier,
totally.
You made the artwork and...
I think I thought it was funny also to have a first record called More Songs.
It is. It's hilarious. I love that about it. I've always thought that the greatest first debut album would be just greatest hits.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Plus, any band that's looking for, or any fan that's looking for that band's music, they're going to gravitate towards the first album. It's always going to be
bad. It's a pretty good marketing ploy.
Yeah, exactly. Although, with us, I prefer folks listen to the most recent album, not the first one, honestly.
There's been a tremendous arc of growth and experimentation.
Well, it's like making pancakes. The first few are not maybe great, but the last batch is going to be really fluffy.
Yeah,
but everyone's full at that point, usually. Like, if you start out on a Sunday morning, not at your house. Huh? But I love Call Him a Thief off that first album. God, what a great song. And I like Knowing You Miss Me is also super cool.
Oh, those are fun.
I found out you've been bad. I left town. Now you're sad. I like knowing you miss me. I like knowing you're blue. I like knowing you miss me. 'Cause I don't miss you. With her name on your tongue, I got out. It's been fun.
I was really into Marty Robbins and Patsy Cline, so that early record has a lot more old-timey country influence to it. And, you know, I would always write from the storyteller's perspective versus my own perspective. So a lot of those songs are about, you know, those archetypal relationships of the country song where love has gone bad. So that's kind of what those feel like still to me.
Yeah, and you got to try and get, you know, trucks and prison and a train in there somewhere too.
Exactly.
Well, you've heard the old joke about country music. If you play the song backwards, you get your wife and your house and your job back.
Right.
Oh, no, I've never heard that.
You've is never, never. Okay, enough of that. Wow, man. Now, we cannot do Monkey's podcast without talking about someone's dad.
Okay.
So, Cersei Link, tell us about your father. No, I mean, Christian, how does it feel to have a dad who's a monkey?
Oh, wow. That's, you know, on the whole, it's just dad, you know, to speak about it just with my personal relationship with him. That has rarely entered into it. It has rarely been a factor. And if, for the most part, when I was younger, it actually had more negative effects because, as I came to learn later, you know, those characters are so iconic in the musical in music history that they've had an enormous impression across the population. And so when somebody finds out that it's that, you know, he's my dad, there have been a number of times where I have ceased to be me, you know, on there. They're just, well, I can't even tell you how many times I've been in a club and somebody will, you know, drop the bomb, and then the light behind that person's eyes sort of changes, and they're not talking to me, they're sort of talking to him vicariously.
Right.
And that's an uncomfortable place. I have an enormous amount of compassion and empathy for Julian Lennon. And, you know, I mean, his dad, not to mention the guy looks so much like him, too, and sounds like him. But he's got his own mind and his own loves and his own wants and needs. And his dad is about a billion times more iconic than mine. So I can just only imagine what that guy has gone through as far as having his own identity. But that said, on the other side of it, there has been an amazing acceptance and embracing of what I do, and more particularly with Cersei, what we do together, from the Monkees fans. It's been lovely that they have really shown up for us, and, you know, they came to the party because of my dad, but they stayed because of us, and that was great.
That's an excellent way to put it. People have really embraced you. The people that are into music seem to gravitate towards you, and that's you really can't ask for much more.
Well, hopefully it just comes down to the music, you know, the art that we're making. I mean, you know, I never, you never think, okay, I'm going to make this song and I'm going to craft it or produce it or write it in such a way that it'll please all the people because Michael Nesmith's my dad. You know, that never enters into the equation. Uh-huh. We're just making art on our own. But it was lovely. You know, a year and a half ago, did the first Monkees tour that Nez had been involved in whatever it was, 20-something years. That was a great thing because it was the first time I ever played on stage with my dad. And so it was a wonderful thing, and we were on the tour bus together. And, you know, more than anything, it strengthened the family ties rather than strengthened the fact that he was in the Monkees and right. that I was part of that.
That's a great way to put it. It had to be kind of surreal that you're on stage with your dad.
Well, you know, I've been a player my whole life.
Right.
I've been in, you know, playing rock clubs and big concerts and doing studio work completely apart and separate from anything that he's done for my whole life. It's been my job. And so I'm a seasoned pro.
Yes.
And, you know, when I step on stage and you put a guitar in my hand and you put an audience in the house, you know, that's the job, no matter mm-hmm. what I'm playing. But it's nice. It was very interesting the first couple of shows to look across, and particularly when Mickey would introduce me, because he introduces everybody in the band, uh-huh. and he would introduce me, and you know, you look across the stage and you give a little nod to the old man, and and that's he gives it back, and that's a nice thing. But it totally goes to family. The fans' appreciation of the Monkees has very little to do with that relationship, that dynamic.
Right.
It's not as surreal as you might think.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can tell you is it would freak me out if I was playing and I looked over and I saw my grandmother on bass. That's all. You know.
Is your grandmother a bass player?
Actually, she's no longer with us, but I'll bet she could have rocked that thing. You know, you mentioned the family, and it seems like the current incarnation of the Monkees is really a family affair, whether it's Mickey's with Coco and the Nez children and whatnot. And, of course, Rich Dark gets confused as Peter's illegitimate child.
Does he?
No, that was a joke.
That's funny.
As a matter of fact, we recently had Rich Dart on the show, and here's where we're bringing the National Enquirer, the scandalous moment. Everyone's on pins and needles because I'm going to mention something that Rich said. I asked him, you know, to run down each member of the current incarnation of the Monkees crew, and he said Cersei was just lovely and Coco's fantastic and all these things, and I got to Christian Nesmith. And he said this. Christian Nesmith on guitar and backing vocals. What can you tell us about Christian?
He's an asshole. No, I'm kidding. No, Christian is a lot of fun to work with. Christian has this amazing energy about him. And he fits in very nicely.
I'm going to ask you. What can you tell us about Rich Dart?
He's an asshole.
No, he spoke very lovingly of you. I thought it was cool that he felt comfortable enough with you that he could do that, you know?
Well, Rich has a very can have a very acerbic wit. He likes to go to the dark side from time to time, and and I have been known to have a prickly disposition from time to time, and it's not that I'm mad. It's just usually stems from the fact that I want to do the best job.
Right.
But his acerbic wit and my prickly disposition lends very well to making the joke of a couple of assholes. So there you go.
There you go. And like opinions, we all have them and are them at times. As far as the praise that he heaped on you for doing the vocal arrangements on the last tour, he said that you were just fantastic in putting them all together. What was your goal behind doing that?
On the tour before, when we were doing some of the rehearsals, there were a few things that I wanted to sort of add to the party, mm-hmm. but wasn't really in an official capacity yet. But I had the little door cracked open a little bit and was welcomed to do it. So that when this next tour came out, they said, "Okay, you just go and arrange them all. So my goal was to really have those background vocals spotless, bulletproof. And to get Cersei in there and Coco, and then add me and David Alexander all in there, and really focus on making those harmonies work and having the blend right and choosing the right person for the right part, and so that it all just comes out like those silky backgrounds you hear on the record. And there were a couple of places where I wanted to add a little bit. I didn't want to stray too much from the original, but you know, there were a couple opportunities to make it even bigger and even stronger. But for the most part, the goal was to just, you know, have those background vocals, which are so prominent all over the records, to really be represented as pristinely as possible.
Well, I thought that they turned out excellent, and in no small part to that lovely creature sitting beside you there to your right.
It's true. Creature?
Yes, but I meant it. Honey. Yeah. Ooh, claws. But I mean creature in the best way, because you're so wonderfully exquisite and lovely and all those wonderful hyperboles. What is your biggest thrill as far as doing those background vocals? What do you enjoy the most out of it?
The family aspect of it. I love being on the road with the guys and the gals, whether it's Mickey and Donna, Peter and Pam, the Nez kids. You know, all the whole family, not just the people on stage, but the whole family, Jessica backstage, Jonathan and Susan pitching in. For me, it's like we ran away to the circus, but we took the whole family.
Yeah.
So I really love that part. I mean, I love the music as well, and it's actually been cool for me to get a chance to learn a lot of the music. I didn't grow up watching the Monkees. I really didn't know anything about them much before I met Christian.
That was actually a plus. I got to jump in here. When I told her who my dad was, because you got to kind of get that out of the way so you can say, okay, how are they going to react? How are they going to react? And she's like, who? It's like, you're in. You're a keeper. You're done. That's it. That's great.
Yeah. I didn't follow that stuff. I mean, if you had said Rod Serling, I would have been kind of impressed.
Right.
I love Rod Serling. But yeah, so just being out with the family was really cool, but getting to learn about the history of their music and how it affected the culture, and how that wave of stardom affected these really wonderful guys. Watching how they experience it now, looking back, is a really interesting thing to be a part of as well, and to be a support system for them, because what they've done means so much to so many people, and I think that's really important. I think that's one of the beautiful things about music, is that it can lift you up from wherever you are. And still today, that music touches people's hearts, and I really loved getting to be a part of that.
And here's Cersei Link and Christian covering We've Only Just Begun.
We've only just begun. Find a place within.
Hi, this is Christian Nesman.
And Cersei Ling.
And we want you to tune into ConcertWindow.com September 13th.
At 10 a.m.
To see us play live from our very own living room.
That's Pacific Standard Time.
Yes, please do it. And listen to Zilch.
A Monkey's Podcast.
Well, we ask everybody that comes on the show three questions. The question's three. What is your favorite Monkees album? What is your favorite Monkees song? And what is your favorite Monkees episode? So, since you two are not immune to those questions, I will roll them out towards you. Christian, do you have a favorite album?
My relationship with Nez was as a straight father figure. Mm-hmm. And when they were released, though I heard them all the time and I heard all the music, it was not really something that was being played around the house. It was, what was being played around the house was Beatles and Hendrix and CSN and all of these other great iconic 60s artists. And so I didn't really dig into the Monkees. And when I got old enough to have my own tastes, it was a bit later, and so I had the early to mid 70s to draw from. So I'm going to make the embarrassing admission that I don't really have a favorite Monkees album, only because I don't know them that well as, you know, play them in their entirety sort of experience. I can answer the favorite song, which is Pleasant Valley Sunday. Easily.
Track.
I think that is a perfectly crafted song. The melody is great. The guitar riff is great. It's as it moves from section to section, is just brilliant. The subject matter is fantastic. So that's my answer to that question. And the third question is, this is going to sound a little weird, but when you're 2 years old and 3 years old watching your dad on TV and knowing who he is at home, it was a little off-putting to me because he was up there being silly and goofy, and that's a character.
Right. You
know, he makes the distinction between Michael and Nez and Mike.
Yeah.
And Mike is only a very small part of who he is, and mostly just a character. So I sort of reacted the same way to that, in that I felt that that it was a little odd. It's like, what's my dad up there kind of doing that dopey stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I never really gravitated toward the shows. I've seen plenty of them, and they're fun and wacky, and I can see how groundbreaking they are, especially for being, you know, 66 and 67. You know, the pre-runners to a lot of shows, and the notion of the music video and a lot of that. But sorry, you're only going to get one out of three answers on this particular.
That's okay. I mentioned my grandmother earlier. I don't have a document of her in her 20s while she ran around with three other people getting in and out of situations with a laugh track, for example. Is it weird? Whereas some people have a photograph album, mm-hmm. and maybe some old silent 8mm mm-hmm. things, you have glorious color of your dad at 24 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's fun to see him, but again, you're seeing him in character. You're
exactly.
seeing him on stage.
Yes.
Those are not family photos at all. Those are, my family photos and my family memories are quite different than that. Although I will say that some of the stuff that Henry Diltz and a couple of other photographers took at the time behind the scenes with my dad and my mom and me, and those are very, very precious to me. I love those.
Absolutely. Your mother is very lovely, by the way.
She was amazing.
Very
she was amazing.
Cool.
I miss her so much.
Every day we miss her.
And her contribution to the world, although not in the entertainment industry, in my estimation, was quite significant. She worked for Crafting Message for a political firm, and she also taught adult literacy and she was remained a very spiritual and active person right up to the moment of her death. So,
and she raised some pretty nice human beings.
And as a straight up mom, could not have asked for better.
Wow. Well, why don't we dedicate this episode to your lovely mother Phyllis, my lovely grandmother Roberta Jean, and Cersei? Who'd you like to dedicate this one to?
Oh, we got to put her mom in there.
Oh, yeah. Sure, my mom.
What's Betty. Your mom's name?
Betty. Her name is Betty.
Betty. So we dedicate this to those lovely ladies that help us make us who we are.
Absolutely. But Betty is still here.
Yay.
Betty is still here. So, and she's going.
We love you, Betty.
We love I plan on having her stick around a bit.
Yeah.
Thank God. Cersei, what's your favorite song?
I'm a lot like Christian in the sense that I didn't grow up listening to the records or really watching the show. But Daddy's Song is one of my favorites. It's a Nilsson song.
It is.
And a lot of people may not know that side stage behind the curtain, every night when that song would play, we would all be dancing with one another. I think Coco kind of started the tradition, and whoever's side stage, whether it's Mickey or Coco or me or, you know, all of us hanging out in the side wings, Pam, would dance to that song, and it's so delightful.
I will say that there are a couple of people that are involved family-wise in the entourage, and I won't name them so to save them embarrassment, but they were actually learning the steps of Tony Basil's steps of Daddy's Song and executing them on the side stage while the video was playing.
Absolutely. Just that is amazing. A delight. So that was always a great song every night. Of course, Pleasant Valley, the song itself from a writer's perspective is truly astounding, from the existential quality of the lyrics, for people questioning not only materialism, but what does every day mean as far as the experience? What is this whole suburb thing about? Uh-huh. I think that's incredibly important and wonderful to sing. And then the one that probably moved me the most is Porpoise Song. I love that song.
Oh, yeah.
I just love the dreamy 60s psychedelic unusual time. I really enjoyed singing that song, and I'm really honored to get to have done all that.
Yeah.
I love it when Mickey gets between Coco and yourself, Cersei, and you guys, you just sound so good together, and it's just really neat to see that when that happens.
Yeah, Door to Summer, that was a great, fun song every night. You know, I just love standing next to those two. You know, when siblings sing together, there's just such a special quality, and I'm rather good at bringing my tone to whatever the task at hand is, so I've always, that's how I started actually singing, was mimicking other singers, so... Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed getting to blend with those guys, and it was always a special moment in the show when Mickey would come over and stand next to us.
And I will say that regarding an earlier question, that song, During the Summer, was one that I took, I don't know necessarily if liberties is the right word, but I definitely gave it a shot in the arm with some newer vocal arrangements, and it's so fun, particularly to do the round at the end with Nez on a part and Mickey on a part and the two girls on a different part and me and Dave on a different part. It's a lot of fun, and when that hooks up, it's really amazing to execute.
Counting house, where nothing counts but home.
we were talking about family earlier, and it seems like both the Monkees conventions and the Monkees tours are almost a traveling family reunion for all the Monkee guys. I mean, Mickey has his kids there, and you have all the Nez people there, and then it just seems like all these fans are invited to your family reunion, so it's kind of nice. What did you think of the Monkees convention?
They were a blast. They were an amazing experience. The acceptance and embracement that I had mentioned earlier is definitely manifested the most extremely in those circumstances. You're right that Mickey's kids are all there, and Peter has some of his family come around, and this last convention was the first one that Nez ever did, and that was really interesting. Plus, both Jonathan and Jessica were there, mm-hmm. So three out of the four Nez kids were there, and that was a lot of fun. And Cersei and I got to play twice during the convention with our full band.
And the first one was fun for us as well. We got to meet the Jones girls. I never met a lot of those people as well, so each time we've been embraced by everybody we've been, it's just a big love fest out there.
It really, really is.
We were discussing the video and the song for Broken, and on the end of the video, there's a little blurb. It says something about working with some fellow named Nez. Could you talk about his involvement with the video for Broken?
Was it
Mr. DeMille.
Yeah.
What do we call him? We call him DeMille Nez. I forget. Nez, he came up with
Nez
some
DeMille,
name.
Something like that?
Yes.
We shot that in and around his property, that's up in Central California, and because we wanted to have the story called for sort of a foresty,
not a real fairy tale feel to it.
Right? Yeah,
yes, it did.
Conceptualizing the idea. So. Yeah.
So when we got the whole sort of Hansel and Gretel's cookie sort of story.
Was the cookie idea yours or mine? I don't remember.
It kind of just sort of came together, and then her finding the pieces of the cookie, which represents the heart.
Well, it's a brilliant idea.
Well, thank you so much. But it was also taken from what was the
oh yeah, Lubitsch.
Yeah,
we've been watching a series on Netflix called The Story of Film, and in the early episode he's talking about the early filmmakers of the silence, and I was really inspired by Lubitsch. I think that's where we picked up the idea from.
Yeah, the gal gives the guy a piece of her, or gives her her heart. And
no, he gives her the heart. He pulls it out of his breast jacket, his pocket, and tosses it to her, and she takes a huge bite out
of it. Yeah, and I thought that was great, but to continue the idea that they actually exchange hearts and each take a bite, and then they put the hearts in a basket and off into the sunset. But we were just did it there, so we went and stayed a couple of days at his house and did it there. And so he was extremely helpful and offered some insight as far as framing and basic film 101. I don't know if you know this, but he was on the board of the AFI, the American Film Institute, for quite some years. Most of what I've learned about filmmaking and film appreciation has come through him. Mm-hmm. So his input to that was wonderful and much appreciated. So we wanted to give him a little love at the end.
Excellent. Cersei, you really can work that old-timey thing, because what you do with your eyes in that video and just your reactions and everything. You could have been a silent film star.
That would have been fun.
Oh, I think so.
Maybe I was in my previous life.
Well, you never know, But you just, you were fantastic in that video.
Well, thank you. I'm a little bit of a ham when the camera gets on me. And actually, Christian's a really good director. He'll say, I need more face.
Cersei gives good face.
I do.
Wow. That's fantastic.
It's a PG show, people. It's a PG.
Yes, podcast. PG. So when you meet somebody who has been a fan all their life, and they come up to you and they're telling you how much your father and the Monkees or whatever meant to them, how do you react to that?
Mostly it's positive. I mean, it depends. Sometimes you'll get kind of a drunken oaf whole kind of, hey, are you a monkey's uncle, son of a... You know, it's like, really?
Yeah, that gets
really
a little old.
You're going to go there. But for the most part, you know, it's wonderful to see how important and how much that music and that show has affected these people their whole lives. I'm grateful for their happiness. And whether it happened to be related to me or not, it's just lovely to see them so jazzed about something. I mean, there are a few of my teen and preteen bands that are still so precious to me, and you know, songs that I played over and over and over, and songs that I learned that taught me how to play guitar, and so I can relate. You know, I mean, just because I'm not necessarily a Monkees fan doesn't mean that I'm not a music fan and have the same exact feelings about the bands that really knocked me out as they do about the Monkees. And that's fantastic. When they say, you know, your dad was the reason why I play guitar, I could, you know, that's great. That's really, really cool.
Uh-huh. And it's great because I've always kind of gravitated towards lead guitarist in bands, whether it be George Harrison or Ace Frehley or something like that. Mm. And when I tell people that I love Michael Nesmith as a lead guitar player, sometimes they'll look at me like, what? You know, because, you know, they just don't get it. But even though at times it wasn't always the case, in my mind as a child, as a kid and as a teenager, I always saw Mike as that guy.
Yeah,
not necessarily Nez, but
yeah,
Mike.
I mean, you know, he did not play the guitar on Valerie, and he didn't.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of things he didn't play. I mean, he did play the riff to Pleasant Valley Sunday. You
excellent,
know, that's
by
him.
The way.
And he's never really considered himself a guitar player as such, but guitar was always a vehicle for him to write songs, which is absolutely his number one forte.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But just like having a comic book hero, you know, I mean, if you're into Shazam or you're into the Green Lantern, that's just as important as you're into Mike being a lead guitar player, and it gives you inspiration to go be whatever it is that you want to be. And if it happens to be following music, all the better.
Well, I could talk to you guys all day and probably every day, but I know that we all have to get back to our obligations, and
yeah.
I want to thank you for being part of Zilch today, hope that it was fun for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
No problem, anytime, and I would like you to look at Zilch, the Facebook page, the podcast, whatever. This is your show now, so if you want to promote anything, just ring the bell, and it will be promoted.
Excellent.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really wonderful if you can. Well,
this is just another tentacle to reach this audience for you. So.
It's a warm hug from a big tentacle.
Absolutely. Which I think is on Netflix. I'm not sure.
It is. Actually, it was part of the movie that we used in our Good Vibrations video.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go. See, it all ties together. Synchronicity. Here's Christian and Cersei's take on Good Vibrations.
I love the colorful clothes she wears, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Good vibration.
Ooh.
I'm picking up good vibration. love and good vibrations are happening with her.
Gotta keep those love and good vibrations are happening with her.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm going to hold you to an appearance on one of my other shows, the Podkist. We're going to
Simple
talk
fire.
About
I'm any time.
Hockey sticks, broomsticks, tennis rackets, and Ace Frehley. So
and dressing up as Ace in fifth grade and going to school that way on Halloween.
Oh, this is going to be a good one. So be looking
oh yeah,
for that.
Dude, it's real. It is totally real. The first six albums plus the two lives.
Oh yeah,
that's me. That's so me.
This is going to be a good one, so folks, keep an eye out for that. We'll let you know when that happens. Again, we want to thank the lovely Cersei Link and the lovely Christian Nesmith, and as we dedicate this episode to Phyllis, Roberta Jean, and the lovely Betty, we would like you to take somebody that you want to dedicate this episode to and let them know that you love them and care for them.
And give them a big hug.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zilch listeners. We love you, too.
Yeah.
Now let's eat some of those big, hard cookies. You got any left?
You bet.
All right, well, that'll be that. Thank you so much. This has been one of my favorites.
You're welcome,
Ken. It was really a pleasure.
Yeah.
Let anybody in your family know that if they want to be on a Zilch podcast, we'd love to have them.
I bet Jonathan would probably be willing to do it because he's got some music he likes to promote.
Yeah, and also he and Susan did the... did a complete re-edit of all the video that was on the last tour.
Yes.
I bet Jessica would do it too because, you know, now she's got her record as well. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to beat me up, Christian, but I have a slight crush on your sister.
She's foxy. Who doesn't?
Oh, she is. I know.
She's
lying. Your girlfriend's pretty good too there, buddy. Your girlfriend over there is pretty good too, you know. Good-looking woman.
Thank you very much. No complaints.
Couldn't enjoy it anymore, Ma.
What was it Mary Jane Watson said to Peter Parker, face it, you hit the jackpot, tiger, or something like that?
Oh, I don't know that.
Well, it's a famous comic book panel where Peter Parker opens up the door, and he's thinking that he's going to be stuck with this dog that his Aunt May said, well, you know, the neighbor's girl's going to come over, and I want you to go out with her. And he opens up the door, and she's standing there. Just imagine you with, like, all these lines cascading from you, and you say, face it, you hit the jackpot, Tiger, you know.
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, if you're still rolling, she's the most amazing person who's ever come into my life. And, there was a lot of that that feeling of, you hit the jackpot there, buddy. When she showed up, when she first sent me her EP, and she was looking for a new player, you know, I put the EP on and listened, and was just blown away by how real. Authentic's not the right word because that denotes that it was applying to a specific genre, but it was genuine in that it was true musicianship and true love of the music. And then I looked on the back and there was a picture of her and I was like, oh, well, let's see. And then actually, and I think this is before she ever even met her, I gave my mom the the EP, the 3-song EP, which I knew that she would love just because she's a great fan of old timey country stuff. And then a little while later, I asked her, you know, what have you been enjoying the EP? And I said, I've actually spoken with her, and we're spending a lot of time on the phone, and we're talking. And my mom looked at the same picture on the back, and she said, "This is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with."
Wow!
Without ever having met her.
Yay, Phyllis!
So you know, that that part of it, that part of our romance is
ongoing,
and just as magical as that comic book
panel
part you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to add that little bit.
Very cool, sir. We'd also like to say a special hello to Ron Nelson. I know he's listening. He's a big fan and friend of Cersei Link and Christians, and he's also a big fan and friend of the Zilch podcast. Hi, Ron. Thank you for listening to this episode of Zilch. We'll be back in the next episode with Monkey's Color Commentary. See you. Thank you for listening.
And that's our show. Zilch is an online nonprofit Monkey's audio fanzine made by fans for fans. Any samples of music or interviews heard remain property of their owners. We are not related to the Monkees or any of their members past or present. We are not affiliated with Rhino or Ray Burr. If you hear anything you like from the band, go on Amazon or iTunes and buy it. If you enjoyed the show, like us on Facebook and rate us on iTunes. Thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm your announcer, Chelsea Epstein, saying always take some time to monkey around.
Hi, this is Christian Nesmith.
And Cersei Link.
And you're going to, and we'll, and,